and Brit. Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
It is the Brad and Brit cast. It's our second one this week. Thank you for joining us. And we're live in the 1:30 Eastern hour here on Facebook and YouTube Areno, which is by the it's a spinoff from YouTube and wherever else. All right. Now, yesterday you introduced a way for us to talk about things we really shouldn't, don't want to, but secretly do want to talk about, called Is This Too Stupid for Us to Talk About? And I tell you what, I have been getting calls. My phone is ringing off the hook,
even
though I don't have a phone on a hook, but if I did. it is an extremely, extremely popular feature. So I don't know whether you want to go with it or you want to go with me with the pick one of three. You can do either one.
Well, let's continue with our hot new record, which is it too stupid for us to talk about? In general, the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, had a news conference where he talked about a variety of topics. Brad, is the news conference itself too stupid for us to talk about?
Well, the answer, of course, is absolutely. and of course, absolutely, we're going to, because this has to do with him deciding to supposedly defend all of us against the First Amendment abridgments heaped upon him, meaning heaped upon you, all of you, by Facebook and Google and Twitter. And of course, as always, this is like talking about getting vaccinated. We have to say the same things over and over again. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment.
No.
First Amendment is designed and was written to protect citizens against government interference in speech. Twitter and Google and Facebook are not U.S. government entities and therefore are not subject to being put under the auspices of the First Amendment in the way that the government shutting down your newspaper or your radio station or if it would. But okay. We'll take the bait here and go with the concept. And you know what this is? This is a guy, again, we don't say anything new. There's nothing new to say about him.
Not really.
Have you ever seen anybody more desperate day after day to appear as if he is something when he really isn't something? He holds what looks like a presidential press conference, right? The trap, I mean, it looks exactly like he's standing in the White House from the pictures I see and the video I've seen of this. And
allow me to predict 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And five. You know, he looks so presidential. I certainly wish the guy we had in there now looked as presidential and commanding as a Donald John Trump looked today. You know, I think it's going to be one of those that he looked fantastic and commanded the language. He knew what he was talking about. And by God, first of all, what are the odds? And I just want you to, on a scale of 1 to 10, or you can do it in a percentage, whatever you want to do. What are the odds? He's saying he's going to file a lawsuit. Is there any chance that a lawsuit is actually filed?
It's not likely. Anyway, because, you know, the act of filing it is.
Yeah.
You know, pleasing to his base, standing up to, to big companies. I have a clip here. I have the clip, and remember, this was about his lawsuit. But then, because he wants to look like he's still the president, he took questions.
And I think
most of them were softball, nothing.
Oh yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah,
right. And then it veered off slightly into the world of January 6th. Here we go.
Because so much of this, your banning has to do with comments you made around January 6th, just to clarify further, what did you do to stop the insurrection, as some people call it, and why were you not able to stop it?
So that whole unfortunate event, just went through Congress and a report was issued and my name wasn't even mentioned.
All right. So we get to stop this. We get to fact check it in real time here.
Okay. It's an unfortunate event, Brad.
Exactly.
Like tripping on your top step on the way to the mailbox. It's just an unfortunate event.
Right. And here he is, you know, attempting to completely divorce himself
right.
from any connection to what's going on. And just like after the Mueller report was spun for him by Bill Barr, he's now saying nobody's even talking about him being connected with this. No, just nobody. Just nobody.
And I appreciate that. I was surprised, frankly, because I would have assumed that they would have come up with their typically biased, at least on the Democrat side, statement. The report came out, as you saw, 2 weeks ago. My name wasn't even mentioned. That was an unfortunate event. I say, though, however, people...
they ought to be printing up T-shirts already saying it was an unfortunate event.
Yeah, I'm not really even sure that Bill Barr would say that he was exonerated. Jeez, I'm not even sure.
Unbelievably, unfairly, when you look at people in prison and nothing happens to Antifa, and they burned down cities and killed people.
Oh, yeah.
There were no guns in the cabin.
Oh, yeah.
They burned down, except for the gun that shot Ashley Babbitt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we shouldn't even bother to say that, number one, that wasn't the only gun that was there.
Yeah.
And if a gun did kill Ashley Babbitt, it would be in the possession of law enforcement, which is allowed to have guns. The last time I checked, I don't know.
That Second Amendment's kind of squirrely about law enforcement owning guns. You know, this is where he draws the line.
And nobody knows who that man were. If that were the opposite way, that man would be all over. He would be the most well-known, and I believe I can say man, because I believe I know exactly who it is. But
it's always a lie when he does that.
Because he would have spilled his guts already, right? He would have said it to everybody.
But the person that shot Ashley Babbitt, boom, right through the head, just boom.
So you can see where the setup is going here. It's the master of diversion, deception, deflection is making the now 6-month-old memory of January 6th about the death of one person, one white woman martyr.
Well, we seem to have found a level of a case of police violence that Republicans finally care about. So congratulations and welcome to the party.
Yeah. In defense of the entire foundation of democracy. Damn.
So we finally have found that troubles them. The one part of that police may have used violence in a way that was, this is their example.
Yeah. Is extremism in the defense of liberty, no vice? I guess not. Apparently not.
There's no reason for that. And why isn't that person being opened up? And why isn't that being studied? They've already written it off. They said that case is closed. If that were the opposite, that case would be going on for years and years, and it would not be pretty. So I just thought this was a very important time. Yeah, please go ahead.
There you go.
What does he mean by the opposite? What does he mean by the opposite? I'm just curious. I'm just sure what does he mean by
the opposite, of course, means if – by chance a black person were ever killed by a police officer, it would be on national TV. It would be a big thing. There would be marches and right. But because a white person was an innocent white person who was just walking up the steps to be part of a tour group on January 6th, she was in the wrong place, wrong time.
So the official,
unfortunate. Yeah. Yeah.
The official, what about to George Floyd is Ashley Babbitt, right? They're both sides of the same coin.
Okay. That, you know what? That is too stupid to talk about because it's true.
That's what they think. You guys talk about George Floyd. What about Ashley Babbitt? Okay. Right.
That's a good one. I like that. You know what? I hadn't really thought of that, but if you throw enough garbage at the trash can, some of it falls in. That just fell in.
Well, that's fair and balanced. I mean, that is fair and balanced. I mean, George Floyd, Ashley Babbitt. I mean, we're being fair and balanced here on Fox News. Yeah. And those are the same thing.
Yeah.
Is this too stupid for us to talk about? Jen Psaki, of course, the spokesperson for the president, for the White House, dismissing Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, remember, she tearfully apologized. Not really. A few weeks ago in front of the Holocaust Museum, saying that she really wishes she hadn't made the comparison she'd made to Nazi Germany. She now compares the vaccination program of the Biden administration to Nazi Germany. unapologetically, and Jen Psaki says that's stupid. Is Marjorie Taylor Greene in general too stupid for us to talk about, Brad?
She's too stupid for us to talk about, but she's got too much prominence to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold two thoughts at the same time on this. And we have twin Nazi stories today. Nazi schmatzies.
It's two for Tuesday.
Right. It's two. Well, and, unfortunately, Wednesday. It's a no repeat Wednesday.
A no repeat Wednesday.
Yeah. But you have the book by Michael Bender, which is coming out, and they put out little drips and drabs every day, and the latest one is that when General Kelly became Chief of Staff John Kelly, it appears that he got along not too well with Donald Trump. That Kelly had come, you know, from a different world, and it was never going to work. And so Trump tells General Kelly that, well, you know, Hitler did do a lot of good things. You know, you got to consider that. He says this to Kelly. And if you remember, that apparently was a part that came as Trump was being schooled on American history, because it was very clear he knew nothing. He knew nothing about World War I, the aftermath of it, and the economic circumstances that brought along Hitler, very much important part of the rise of Hitler in the early 1930s. Trump knew nothing about that. So his response in being taught that was, yeah, but what about the Hitler did some pretty good things? And you know, I was trying to think of some of those great things that
now that may
Donald
be too
Trump
stupid.
Thinks Hitler
that,
did.
That may be too stupid for us to talk about.
Well, but let me tell you what I think. Trump doesn't know anything about anything,
of course.
But sometimes he knows just enough to be stupid when he opines about things.
Yeah.
And I think this is what he was going for when he thinks that Hitler did a lot of good things. To Trump, doing good things means reviving an economy if it's in difficult circumstances. And Germany was, you know, in deep, deep trouble during the Depression, during the late 20s and into the early 30s, just like all other countries, but maybe even more so because of the hangover from World War I, where they owed all this money and they had to make payments all the time, and they couldn't make their payments because their economy was in depression. So here comes Hitler promising to, how should I say, make Germany great again. Make Germany great again.
He almost, I think, verbatim said that. I believe that was one of the, you could find that in some of the campaign literature.
So I'm just this off the top of my head. He privatized, believe it or not, he privatized a lot of government-run entities in Germany. Of course, they still had to operate under the boot of the German government, but the economy started to move. And then he decided, you know what, how about if we start devoting more and more of whatever national wealth we have to building a war machine, build up the military. I can't tell you what it's for.
No.
I think it's so that we get more room to build more houses and patios for Germans to take vacations in, oh, say, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, you name the country.
Vacations into Poland, those are big Polish vacations.
So he started a war economy. The unemployment rate dropped in Germany. The German people were starting to be fatter and happier. Now, at the same time, of course, what happened in Germany that we know really was going on beneath the surface was already brewing, but that didn't matter. And to Trump, all these years later, it's just, hey, Hitler got the numbers up. He got the numbers up in the 1930s, and unemployment almost went down to zero. Oh, by the way, they had about 3 or 4, maybe 5 million, what we call slave laborers to help out. In other words, those were what we call now low-wage workers. Okay? People don't make a lot of money, but they sure help your industry. You could almost call them slaves. They were. So Trump, I think that's at the bottom of his – Hitler did a lot of good things. Now, there were those other I can't remember what else got it.
Well,
Hitler's reputation sucks, right? And you,
according you
know,
to
like Trump, Hitler's just gotten a bad rap all these years. Oh, doesn't get credit PR. For all the good shit that he did.
If Hitler would just been allowed to have a, if Hitler would have been allowed to have a Twitter account, I think things would be a lot better.
If he could have gotten his side of the story out, it would have been a lot better. You're right.
This is from the Bender book, which is called "Frankly, We Did Win This Election." It comes out on the 13th. It is available for you to pre-order right now at shop.bradandbrit.com. That's our Amazon store. Kelly told the president he was wrong, but Trump was undeterred, emphasizing German economic recovery under Hitler in the 30s. And then Kelly pushed back. And argued that the German people would have been better off poor than subjected to the Nazi genocide. Bender adds that Kelly told Trump that even if his claim about the German economy under the Nazis after 1933 was true, you can't ever say anything supportive of Adolf Hitler. You just can't. That is what he actually had to tell Donald Trump. Please, publicly, when you go into one of these speeches and before you hit the snake, don't talk about how great Hitler was and how he did some good things, but he just went a little too far.
That's interesting. Of course, John Kelly is totally right. But if you wanted to be cold and hard about it, theoretically, yes, Hitler did this, Hitler did that. And if you were a German citizen and you suffered through the 20s, things were okay for you for a while. But then it didn't last very long.
And On
second thought, it's probably not worth it if you're a German person by the time, if you made it through to the 1940s and then into the 50s.
Let's just say you can excuse the millions of dead people and the bodies that were stacked up. If you could just push that out of the way for just a moment, I still don't think it was worth it. Yeah. I think as a German citizen.
Right. And the entire world being plunged into war. Other than that, things were great. Now, I don't know whether Germany won any World Cup soccer matches during that era. They had the Olympics there in 1936. Yeah. That was a disaster. You think the Olympics in Tokyo are going to be a mess? Wait till you look back on the 36 Olympics when a you know what beat a you know what.
That was the worst. And by the way, that guy happened to be woke. He was Mr. Woke, you know, of that era. And he actually showed Hitler what was up. So that's right. very unfortunate.
And where did Jesse Owens go to college, Britt?
Oh, he went to, I don't want to talk about him. That's not a thing. That's too stupid to talk about. Sorry. We can't go into that. The great Jesse Owens making the Donald Trump of his era, Adolf Hitler, looked stupid at those Munich games. All right, that's all I've got for is that too
Wait
stupid.
Wait a minute, but did he wear an Ohio State University hat on the stand?
It was out of pity toward that establishment. He was very sorry for those people, and he was, okay, I'll put it on to give those people a little bit of pub. That's what I'll do.
Right. Nazi schmatzies.
So that's all I have for is this too stupid to talk about. The news conference in general looked like the reason I question the idea of him ever filing a lawsuit is, again, he doesn't have any lawyers who will work for him anymore. So he doesn't have anybody who would go to court and file a
brief. Of that. Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. That's part of the thing is I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he's just a massive attention whore.
Right. By definition, now, if you're working for Trump as a lawyer, you're working pro Sonny Bono. Right?
That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're trying to get the Bono. And a lot of lawyers, even lawyers who happen to be right wing pricks, like to get what's the word I'm looking for paid. And he doesn't manage to do that. And they make him look stupid.
But even if he did have high quality law and they were getting paid, I don't think he has a leg to stand on. I mean, that being said, I mean, you could make an argument that he has the right to speak. And you know what? He does have the right to speak, and he can speak. And we're talking about what he said today. That doesn't mean that Twitter and Facebook and Google can't toss them off his platforms. Maybe our best friend in the world, Britt, John the Catholic, has been kicked off of Facebook for a whole month. He's been tossed off of Facebook for a whole month for something that, if you want to talk about something too stupid to talk about, we're not going to talk about the specifics, because if you have experienced this where you've made a comment or you've said something about someone else that's completely within the bounds of propriety and truth. And the person who made the original comment that you were responding to, nothing happens to them. But it's like in the NBA. It's the guy who responds to the dirty move who gets the foul called on him, right?
It's the retaliation. It's always the retaliation.
Right.
That's how it works.
So our friend John the Catholic is not on Facebook for another week and a half or so. But he is doing his periodic radio program. It's tonight, right?
Yeah. I think it's on Thursday nights is when he usually does that.
On the local
college station. He does a blues show that's fantastic. I've heard it a few times. And if you like the blues at all or you want to learn something, that's the great thing about John's show is you always learn something because he's so knowledgeable about it. Yeah.
All right. We'll hype it more tomorrow then. It's Thursday.
But I think the news conference by Trump is really indicative of the fact that the victory tour isn't working. He's not getting his rocks off on the attention that he's getting because he's not getting much attention at all on these stupid ass rallies. So that's why he had to come out and have a news conference to prove that he's a massive attention whore, right? I think that's what we're looking at.
There is no doubt. There's no doubt about that. I am somebody. I am still somebody. Pay attention to me. And on and on it goes. Let's go to the latest attempt by Fox to destroy America, to undermine the country. Wreck this country, and this is, they have turned it up to 12 on the 10 scale, not only on critical race theory, which there are people that count this. Yesterday late in the afternoon, I don't know if you saw the piece, they had already mentioned it 128 times before 2 in the afternoon on Tuesday. Okay, that isn't even physically possible. But yeah. they did the count. So if by 2 o'clock, if they'd done it 128 times, that they surely hit 250 or 300 by late in the evening. So that's 7, 10, 12 times per hour that they're on that. But as bad as that is, and it's disgraceful because you have all these people who are really against something that they don't know what it is, but they don't like it. It's just bad. It's just, I hate it, and it's the worst thing. We know that. But this attempt to cloak themselves in this idea of freedom to not get vaccinated is so damaging. It is so horrible, and they're mischaracterizing the whole situation so disingenuously. It's even bad for them. For instance, you have the three dopes in the morning. And remember, all the people that you're hearing talk about the vaccine on Fox and lie and tell people, it's my body. You can't tell me what to. All these people are vaccinated. Every one of them. They are all personally vaccinated. And you know that because the ones who say nothing, they're vaccinated. The ones who are vaccinated, they might mention it once in passing and that's it. But they're all vaccinated. It's almost a company policy at the Murdoch company. They're all vaccinated. But they know, and we if you lay this over the fact that 90% of the new cases of the Delta variant virus that are turning into full-blown coronavirus cases are among people who are not vaccinated, then there's just no question as to what's going on. So what do? They go and they chronicle and they pick all of the outlying cases and they run the stories about them one after another. Here's a teenager in St. Joseph's, Missouri, and he's very sick. On and on. And when you see that, if you're in that bubble, shit, you're damn right I'm not getting a vaccine. You're damn right I'm not going to get it. Look how dangerous it is. And of course, as mathematical geniuses, we know that, one in 10 million, one in 1 million is, that's pretty good odds that you're not going to get deathly sick from the vaccine, from side effects. Of course, the chances that if you catch it, you'll have long haul problems, that you might get really, really sick now, that you might pass are way higher than that. And we don't have to explain that. And we know what the stakes are
here. I think my chances of riding in a Tesla, having the Tesla explode and put battery acid all over me and kill me and burn me beyond any recognition, I think they're much greater than that. I think that would be a much, certainly my chances of dying on the way to work.
You know what? If I gave you a Tesla, you'd still take it, wouldn't you?
Of course I'd still take it. Are you kidding me? I'd go ahead and do it. I mean,
all right, stop the show. I have some. Look in your driveway, Bruce. Look out there right now.
Holy shit. Oh, it's the band Tesla. You got him to play. I didn't understand what you were saying. I apologize. Yeah, no, that sounds perfectly like something that Fox would do for sure.
By the way, can I do a full out of context side ramp? This doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
I can't believe I saw it today. I was down on the lower tier, you know, on 7, 8, 9, and 10 there on our Spectrum cable. You know, those are the network channels. And I went zipping by, and there was The Price is Right, and there was Drew Carey. Have you seen what Drew Carey looks like these days?
I have, yeah, very different. He's got a beard. Oh my God. He's very thin, yeah.
He looks like Charlton Heston as Moses late in life's grandfather. Doesn't he?
I guess that would be correct.
You know he does not have to look that way. He's chosen that this is the natural way. This is how I really am, blah, 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 blah. Right. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Bob Barker did that show until he was, what, close to 90?
Sure.
And he stayed well-groomed. He didn't let his hair go to shit. You know, Stephen Colbert is totally gray. I've seen it. I've seen him. You know, he dyes his hair. He doesn't have to, but he's decided that that's a better look for him. As for Drew Carey, I guess the demographics of who watches The Price is Right, again, is your grandmother's grandmother? I don't know, but the show stays on, so it must do very well. It has to, or it wouldn't stay on. But I was just taken aback by what he looked like.
The demographics of that show, as I always remember, like, at least when I was in college, it was like 19-year-olds and then anybody over 60. I think that was back in the day. I don't know, what it might be now.
Yeah. I'm sure people watch. You know, they keep it up to date. And, you know, they do have the young women showing the products there. I think that's kind of an attraction there.
They always have, and it turned into quite a little scandal for Bob Barker at one point in time. Her name was Diane Parkinson. There's the guy you're talking about right there. There he is.
You know, but you know what? The picture that we're showing is actually way more complimentary than what he looks like now. It is. Because this is a guy with a well-trimmed gray beard and nicely combed hair. As I saw him today, I mean, he really looked like he was hanging out with Tom Hanks on that island after the plane crashed was the FedEx. What was that called? Marooned?
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, it wasn't marooned. It was, marooned is the story of people up in space who can't get that. That was a different movie. A different movie.
It was the movie with Wilson, of course. So that's the one that you're talking about. Yeah.
how did I do derailing us?
You did a pretty good job. You did a pretty good job on that one.
Thank you. Just shocked at what Drew Carey looks like, but I would not judge him. By the way, he's still a funny guy and a good guy. And then just
Castaway was the Tom Hanks film that featured him as a FedEx person who went down with the plane and he was shipwrecked with Wilson. Right.
Marooned is really a story of a space capsule that can't get back down.
Well, you know who I blame for this dishevelment? I think David Michael Letterman. He's the guy that's letting all these people, giving them license to go ahead and look like they're, you know, haggard and they're.
Wait, well, Letterman didn't look like that when he was on network TV on CBS.
No, but once he, but now, network. Now they're taking it a step farther. They're saying that it's okay. And then what are they going to do? Fire me? I look fantastic. Shut up.
That's right.
I got a contract and I'm the man and you should shut up. I'm the guy.
I don't care what he looks like. It just was jarring.
They're just back in my day. There used to be a level of appearance that we went with and people wore suits and this is terrible.
It's not that. It's just, remember, there was a standard game show host outfit look that was honored forever from the beginning all the way through Trebek, through and now Drew Carey has broken that. So good for him. That's fine.
He's ushered himself into the 21st century.
But as long as he doesn't try to wear some crazy cap over his head when he goes swimming. That's all that matters to me.
That's all that matters to you.
That's all that matters.
But I think at first what you had started out on was a pretty nice piece about the critical race theory and how it is now the enemy of the state, according to the Fox viewers. This is from the FoxNews.com website. CNN scolds critics of critical race theory, says that concerned parents don't understand what it is. Now, this plays right into the fears of the Fox universe and those Fox people that, oh, they're mocking you. These liberal elites are mocking you at every turn. They think they're so much smarter than you are. And the inferiority complex of the Fox viewer, Brad, it cannot be overstated.
Well, right. This is the same problem or another version of as what we have with the Russians and the hacking and the ransomware. You know, it does not matter what we do. There's going to be another thing pop up there, and they're going to get away with it. And what are we going to do? Are we going to shut down Russia? Are we going to do? They don't have shit there. Okay, we could close down everything in Russia, and Putin wouldn't care. He wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter to him.
We'd like it.
And then he'd unleash the dogs, and none of us would have electricity or internet for 6 months. Okay, so you can't risk that as president of the United States. So what do you do? I don't have an answer. Not that smart. Not that good.
Playing into, again, this inferiority complex, and those liberals think that they know what's up, but they're really the stupid people. Now, this is another FoxNews.com. The Washington Post now calling for a serious investigation of the COVID origins. Now, these egg-headed liberals, these opinion piece writers at the Washington Post, the editorial board, we tried to tell them last year as good conservatives that there were some serious allegations here that this may have been created in a laboratory in Wuhan and unleashed by China on their own people. But they wouldn't listen to us. But now they've come around to our thinking, Brad. That's part of the Fox News narrative right there.
Well, Britt, there is... In the world of fact-checking, there are truths and there are half-truths, and that's a half-truth. Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. Trump was screaming and demagoguing and going full racist and calling it the China virus and Kung Flu and the rest of it.
Which has probably been a great contributor into Asian Americans being attacked all over this country.
Right. But that aside, let's just isolate it as it relates to the origins of the coronavirus. So he was saying that. So reflexively, all of us, and we never give Trump credit. You know, he's right on some things. And you people, you just have to say no to everything that Trump ever says. And you should start admitting that he is right about some things. And that would make you real liberals and make you more open to things. You shouldn't reflexively say that Trump's wrong on everything. Because, you know, just like Hitler, he did some good things and you won't give him any credit for it. But here's the point. The point is, back then, Donald Trump was the president. If he was sure that it was the Chinese government covering up a possibly intentional lab accident, he had the power to go there. But he didn't want to go there. There are all these tweets and statements by him in January and February and March complimenting the Chinese on how they were helping us. At the same time, he was saying Kung Flu. He was playing both ends against the middle. And now in arrears, all these months later, more than a year later, what's the deal? The deal is they get to pick out that he was saying this at the time, but they ignore that he was saying that at the time. And, you know, science is an evolving thing. It doesn't just happen and you say, this is it. And, you know, we're not going to look at any more facts. We're going to make a decision. Whatever Trump was saying then, you know, it was because he was pulling it out of his ass. And this is the broken clock that was probably right once a day, maybe twice a day, if you're not on military time.
There's two points. Isn't it demonstrably true that he was putting way more energy into digging up dirt on the Biden family than he was into finding the origins of the coronavirus? I'm sorry, it's such an obvious statement.
Take it to the next level. The argument, I guess, would be that back in January, February, he was getting impeached.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't getting impeached, then he would have done exactly what we needed to do to to tell those Chinese to take their virus and shove it. You know, the one that nobody was really acknowledging until late in February, early March. But back in January, Trump would have done some. No, yeah, he wouldn't have.
Well,
No way.
I think they have with a straight face made the argument that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are really responsible for this because Donald Trump didn't have his full attention on it because he was fighting these impeachment charges.
Well, yeah, I would assume that everything that we're saying right here in the last few minutes is now going to come up in the hearings that are going to be held by the Democrats, with five Republicans apparently about to be appointed by the Republican leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy. They were deciding whether they were going to boycott the Democratic non-bipartisan investigation into January 6th. You know, the reason that it's non-partisan or that it is partisan is, of course, because the Republicans said, fuck you, we don't want an investigation at all. So they're pretending now that because the Democrats are doing it, that it by definition can't be valid, as opposed to the Benghazi hearings, which, of course, were not driven by some kind of political agenda.
Oh, no, they were authentic. That was absolutely authentic. I'm sure.
Right.
No,
but they were deciding whether to boycott it or not. And then shoot spitballs at it from outside. Now they've decided it's better to be on the inside and throw Molotov cocktails from inside the tent lie and scream. And for all I know, he's going to put people like Jim Jordan in there. And if you don't think for one second, not only are they going to lie about what happened on January 6th, not only are they going to parrot what Trump said today, well, what about Ashley Babbitt? Isn't that the real story of January 6th and all this other kind of crap? They will bring up the coronavirus. They will bring up all of the disingenuous lying that is being done now in defense of why didn't we do something about the Chinese, because we know it's their fault they did it on purpose, which, by the way, is not necessarily proven true, not even close to being proven true. But because it's open to possibility, because it's very difficult to nail down the beginnings, do they know exactly where SARS started from all these years later?
No.
Exactly where Ebola is there? No. All these? No, I don't think so.
There was there was another book that came out, and it's not the Bender book, which isn't out yet, and it's not the Michael Wolff book, but there was a book about particularly the coronavirus and the year 2020 and the Trump administration dealing with it. At some point, you'll recall this happened. I think it was in March. The stock market started going way down. And that's when Donald Trump's stock market's Wall Street buddies called him up and go, do something. You have to do something. So he goes and he has a news conference, and he says, we're going to do this, that, and the third. We're going to have this. And the stock market went up. He apparently was printing out either stories or actual newspapers themselves, signing those about the stock market going up and giving them to his buddies. And that was his mission accomplished banner. Meanwhile, the things that he enumerated at this particular news conference, they did nothing in terms of follow up and making it happen. So that was very important that he show his buddies that he was in charge of the stock market and then F the rest of it.
No. Donald Trump had nothing to do with the economic recovery and the band-aids that were put over the economy as unemployment, skyrocketed by millions over those few months. If you think Donald Trump had anything to do with it, no, the Congress passed a couple of different pieces of gigantic legislation that has been spending trillions of dollars ever since then to keep the economy from going off into the ditch. And so far, it is working. And you'll notice that Donald Trump really, he was a passive bystander to everything. He was trying to get reelected. He was still working on the Hunter Biden story, right?
Big time.
That was getting in the way of him. Yeah. Please don't even think that he can go there on that. But if you want to play the contrast game, Barack Obama really was involved in what happened in 2009 after he became president and helped push along, with hands on some of the legislation
That's right.
That saved General Motors, and you know, even though the spending was not nearly what it was.
Correct. You know, the recovery would have been quicker and more robust had he been allowed to do more of what he wanted to do.
Right. But you know, it probably turned out for the best anyway.
Sure.
You know, for most people, but not for everyone. There are still people who never recovered mm-hmm. from 2008, 2009, that drop. You know, people that lost their homes, they didn't suddenly recover 2 years nope. later, everything back to normal. They never recovered from it.
They did not.
And we have people who are, you know, economic roadkill right now, who are never going to recover, no matter what the statistics show month by month. It's never going to be what it was for a lot of people. But I don't know if you saw this, it was about 2 weeks ago. The number of restaurants that actually permanently closed was, and I'm using this not in a, was quote, only about 10%
yeah.
of it. And it was thought that up to half of all non-chain yeah. restaurants were going to go under. So that really attests to the ingenuity and the creativity, and probably many of them getting the federal money to stay afloat and keep at least a minimal staff and do carry out and all the kind of things that you do like a hockey goalie, where you got one hand here, one arm here, and a foot here to try to save your business. And a lot of people did that, and they did a great job of it. And you know, we're seeing the other side of it for many, many people. And the only thing right now that is going to really derail that is if we have all kinds of coronavirus spread in enough areas of the country, even it's not going to be California, it's not going to be New York,
no,
but it's going to be Missouri. I guess Missouri is the worst state in the country right now. They're
amazing.
Right at the bottom.
It's amazing.
But you know, we're not that much better where we are. Our state, North Carolina, is right above that bottom tier of shit states. In yeah. terms of total vaccinations,
it's true.
Sad. It's terrible. And the county we're in is not that great.
No, either. We got to a certain level and we plateaued. We haven't done, but we haven't really gotten above that level in the past couple of months, not appreciatively.
Right. Well, you know what, Britt? My body, my choice. And by the way, it's nice to see that Republicans and conservatives have finally come around to being pro-choice.
Well, sure. It's and they're really, also, really they're, nice they're also they apparently concerned about police violence, too. So, yeah, they're getting woke. That's what's happening.
Yep, right-wing wokey.
BradandBrit.com.